cross. And then I met Jesus, and then he guided me back out. And that's what's going to happen when we start being promises fulfilled. And when God baptizes his church, we got to catch it. We got to catch what he's doing, because there's going to be a corporate move of God, of the bride of Christ, that we're going to start being the promise fulfilled. Does that make sense? Look, I want to get your Bibles out. Let's go to Acts 1. I personally, I want to enter into this next season, humble, and whenever I think of what God's doing, I think of it in levels, right? Like, it's me and God, me and my wife, me and my children, me and the church. And I want to enter into this season in right order. I want to enter in examining myself and making sure that I'm in relationship with him first and foremost. And as we enter into this next season, God's really doing something. He's been after these promises. He's been carrying these promises until they come to fulfillment, to full fruition. And he deposits things in each and every one of us. And it's gonna take the fulfillment of those things to change the world. We all have the potential to change the world in here.
Amen.
Because Christ in us. And Christ in you is different from Christ in you being walked out, being fulfilled, how he put it in you to be fulfilled. Amen. If Christ is in you, but you walk around and you're all grumpy and you hate people and you cut people off and you're flipping people off and road raging and all this stuff and fighting and, I don't got time for you. If you're doing all that, that's not Christ in you being fulfilled. Man, I'm serious. I'll really go one by one and ask everybody. All right, Acts 1, you guys there? Acts 1, verse 1. The promise of the Holy Spirit. In the first book, O Theophilus, I've dealt with all that Jesus began to do and teach until the day when he was taken up, after he had given commands through the Holy Spirit to the apostles whom he had chosen. He presented himself alive to them after his suffering by many proofs. You know that after I got saved, so it's like you get saved, right? You know Jesus. You're all punch drunk in love. You don't know what to do, so you're just like talking to everybody. You're talking to everybody about Jesus, but you don't even know what to say. You're just like, oh my God, it's so, you're just in love, right? Because you realize how loved you are. But it says in here, just like he presented himself alive to them after his suffering by many proofs. After I got saved, Jesus is so good that he presented himself to me over and over and over again to show himself alive in me. Over and over again, he presented himself, appearing to them during 40 days and speaking about the kingdom of God. Right there is the difference between a promise and a promise fulfilled. Because Jesus is the promise. Him being born is the promise. And then the promise itself is directing you to the kingdom of God. It's pointing you to the kingdom of God. And we need to know this morning that there, Jesus is in you. That being fulfilled is kingdom coming on earth.
Come on.
Randy, Jesus Christ is in you. He's in you, bro. And when you say, Lord, kingdom come, you're praying that the promises that he put in you are fulfilled. It's crazy. And it ain't got to be in here. This is just, man. The dude laying on the street, the prostitute, the whatever. And I always talk about that. You'll have to forgive me, because there's a whole nother flip side where it's the big head boss at work, looking all clean and knows everything. You know, he's intimidating, she's intimidating, and they don't know who God is. You want kingdom to come up in that CEO's office? Your parents, man, when we first got married, we had like parent issues, man. trying to cut off that, like we're a family now, not us in, you know, we had to deal with that, man. That was hard.
Come on,
7 years. It was. So Jesus, living, walking, resurrected Jesus, the promise, is speaking about the kingdom of God. So if literally God speaks something to you, if he puts something in your life, that is a promise. But what is it he's speaking about? Is what needs to be fulfilled. And when we talk about, you know, baptism and communion, which we'll be corporately, partaking in the grand opening service, we need to remember that there's promises and then there's promises fulfilled. And corporately, God is, in the Spirit, he's baptizing our church because there are so many promises that have been spoken over this church. Like I said, there's a lot of them we don't even know. Individually, there's promises that we don't know about. Corporately, there's promises that may have been spoken between two people and we don't even know. But yet the enemy will fight to try to kill those promises. I don't know what they are, but I don't need to know. I don't need to know. I don't, when you get pregnant with a baby, I don't know what it looks like. I don't know what they're gonna do when they grow up. I don't need to know that. I just know there's a promise in there. So I'm claiming all those promises that have ever been spoken over this church will come to fulfillment. Yes. And while staying with them, he ordered them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, "You heard from me, for John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now." So there's a time frame there that he's pointing out, look, he's highlighting being baptized by John the Baptist with water and how it's going to be different now because it's not going to be water, it's going to be the Holy Spirit. All right, let's go to John 1. The Word became flesh, right? God literally spoke a promise, and there's Jesus. All right, we're going to be chapter 1, verse 32. You guys all right? Let's go to 29. We'll start at 29. The next day he saw Jesus coming toward him and said, "Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. This is he of whom I said, 'After he comes a man who ranks before me because he was before me.'" So what's to come is greater. "I myself did not know him, but for this purpose I came baptizing with water that he might be revealed to Israel. And John bore witness, 'I saw the Spirit descend from heaven like a dove, and it remained on him.' I myself did not know him," right? So he didn't have to know him. He didn't know what he looked like. He didn't have to know what he looked like. But he knew what the promise was. He knew what God told him. "I myself did not know him, but he who sent me to baptize with water said to me, 'He on whom you see the Spirit descend and remain, this is he who baptizes with the Holy Spirit. And I've seen and I've borne witness that this is the Son of God.' You know, I just wanted to talk about baptism because we're going to be doing this. God, the Holy Spirit directed us to do this in the grand opening service. And just talking about really what that means, you know, that's when you get baptized, when God puts it on your heart to get baptized, basically you have a desire for the promises of God. He puts a desire on you to see the promises of God, a desire for salvation, right? To be cleaned of your sins. Let's go to Isaiah 11, verse 2. Yeah, I'm reading on the ESV. Isaiah 11. Now, if you remember when Pastor Tanya was preaching about the prophetic, and how this isn't just people that were prophets, these were literally, these are prophetic words that will come that are real. You want a word? You look in the prophetic books. Isaiah 11. We've heard this before. There shall come forth a shoot from the stump of Jesse, and a branch from his roots shall bear fruit. And the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him. When John saw that dove come after he baptized Jesus, can you imagine Jesus asking you to baptize him? He baptized Jesus. He baptized him. He put him under the water and brought him back out. And he doesn't know he's the son of David yet. And then a dove comes and just rests on him. And that dove is the Spirit of the Lord. And so John knew. He knew. And one thing that happened was Jesus saw a vision. With wide open eyes, he saw heaven open up and God speaking to him. And we know that that wasn't just a vision that he saw, because in the other accounts, in the other Gospels, they witnessed it. They heard it. So you got John baptizing Jesus. He comes back out of the water and a dove comes and just rests on him, which the Lord spoke to John that you will know who Jesus is when that happens. So when you go to Isaiah 11, verse 2, now remember, this is how many years before? 500 years before. This is a prophet speaking. Now, the dove represents the Spirit of the Lord, and the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him. So what happens when you get baptized? The Spirit rests upon you. The Spirit of wisdom and understanding. The Spirit of counsel and might and knowledge and fear of the Lord. So when you talk about getting baptized, that's what happens. God, you get a desire for salvation. And then you get baptized, and then the Spirit of the Lord rests upon you. And then all of a sudden, you get imparted wisdom and understanding. Remember, that's the currency of the kingdom of God right there. Wow. Wisdom and understanding, counsel, might, knowledge, and fear of the Lord all gets imparted into your life. So it's you know, when you get baptized, you get divine privileges that Jesus Christ died so you could have. He died so you could have divine privileges. He gave those up. Now let's go back to Acts. We'll go back to Acts 1, verse 12. And this isn't just, you know, hey, let's just read the scripture and it'll sound nice. And like, this is a real deal. This is what God's doing. All right, Acts 1, verse 12. Matthias chosen to replace Judas. Then they returned to Jerusalem from the mount called Olivet, which is near Jerusalem, a Sabbath day journey away. And when they had entered, they went up to the upper room where they were staying. Peter and John and James and Andrew, Philip and Thomas, Bartholomew and Matthew, James the son of Alphaeus, and Simon the Zealot, and Judas the son of James. All these with one accord. With one accord. When you talk about communion, that's it right there. All these with one accord were devoting themselves to prayer together with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and his brothers. In those days, Peter stood up among the brothers, the company of all about 120, and said, "Brothers, the scripture had to be fulfilled, which the Holy Spirit spoke beforehand by the mouth of David concerning Judas, who became a guide to those who arrested Jesus. For he was numbered among us and was allotted his share in this ministry." It's crazy because it's like in your life, in your situation, you really do have the potential for divine government in your life. But there's just that one piece that needs to be replaced. And when somebody realizes that I myself guided Jesus to the place of his arrest, when you realize that, that is the very moment when God comes into your life and puts Matthias, the gift of Jehovah, into your life. So when we realize that we're vessels of a promise, and that promise is fulfilled, then we have the opportunity, no matter what it looks like, to give people that revelation. Look, you've got something in you that took Jesus to the cross. You have divine government, but you got that one little, you got that little piece in you that you took the Savior that can take your sins away. You took him there. And then when we realize that, when that person has that revelation, what does it say? He was allotted his share. And when you have that revelation, you yourself, it says, "Now this man acquired a field with the reward of his wickedness, and falling headlong, he burst open in the middle, and all his bowels gushed out." That's pretty crazy. It's pretty gross. But that's our destiny if you don't have that revelation that the things that you do in your life, you literally guided him to the cross. If you don't have that revelation, that's where you're going. And how are people going to have that revelation if the people that have had it aren't the promises of being fulfilled for them to even have that revelation? "And it became known to all the inhabitants of Jerusalem, so that the field was called in their own language, Akeldama, that is, field of blood, for it is written in the book of Psalms, 'May his camp become desolate, and let there be no one to dwell in it.'" But then let's let another take his office. So when somebody has that revelation, when I had that revelation and he said, "Hey, let me tell you what's really going on. Let me tell you what's happening. Let me tell you what you did." I saw his face. I said, "Oh my God, forgive me. I guided you. I put you up there." I had that revelation. And then in the spirit, it was like all the apostles, all of the apostolic, everything within me that was there, it was there, said, "Let another take his office." Matthias. We don't even know anything about Matthias other than what's right here. And his name means gift of Jehovah. So you get rid of Judas. I guide him to the cross because of that little piece of Judas in me. I guide him over there. And then literally the gift of Jehovah, the promise, guides me back out. And it says, "So one of the men who have accompanied us during all the time that the Lord Jesus went in and out among us." Jesus is, you may not even know the Lord, but he's going in and out of your life. He's going in and out of your life. You got the potential for divine government, but you just got that one thing. As long as you're guiding Jesus to the cross, because you don't even know you're doing it, as long as you're doing that, until you have that revelation that you're doing that, you're not going to get that gift of Jehovah fulfilled in your life and let that take office in your life. Let divine government take place in your life. But who's going to open the eyes for people to see that? We got the promise and we know it. If you had that revelation, you got the promise and you know it. But for it to be fulfilled, it's going to start impacting other people to where they then realize, I don't care who it is. I don't care if it's somebody in the street. I don't care if it's your boss. I don't care if it's your best friend who makes fun of you because you're a Christian. I don't care who it is. When somebody has a revelation, oh my God, Jesus Christ is real and I put him there. It's all over after that. Because then all of our elder brothers, they're going to get together and they're going to say, let another one take his office. And then the gift of Jehovah is imparted into your life. And then Jesus walks you back out. You guided him there and he guides you back out.
It's like Barsabbas, he never even had a chance. He didn't even stand a chance from the beginning. Because it wasn't gonna be him. It had to be Matthias.
You, Lord, who know the hearts of all, show which one of these two you have chosen to take the place in this ministry and apostleship from which Judas turned aside to go his own place, and they cast lots for them, and the lot fell on Matthias, and he was numbered with the 11 apostles. I'm just really excited because when you get baptized, that's what's happening. You have a desire for salvation. There's promises that God deposits in your life, and it's taking a step towards desire. You say, I'm desiring these promises. I recognize that you promised me something, but I want it to be fulfilled. Clean me of the thing that's in me that's taking you to the cross. Because on the cross, he took care of everything that we're doing as we're guiding him there. It doesn't matter if it was, yesterday or 2 years from now. And we can't be perfect. That's why we need Jesus. Amen? But God has taken our church to a season. He's taken us to a place. That's why we're doing a corporate baptism. We're not going to sign up. We're not trying to plan it. We're not trying to do that. It's just, when we watch that movie, that CEO guy who knows everything, who's intimidating, who you don't want to talk to because he scares you, he might be there. Right? Maybe if you invite him, he might be there and he might have the revelation of the Judas. Right? That drug dealer, that gangster, or even the good person, the guy that's just he's just a really good guy. That guy's just a really awesome guy. One of the nicest people I know. But if he's like Judas, hey, Jesus is right here. Come get him. It doesn't matter. It could be any of those people. But, when you talk about the birth of Jesus Christ, we have to go back to the place of looking at ourselves first. One of the things that that is going to be the culture of this church that will continually be developed is that we look at ourselves and our relationship with the Lord first.
Yes.
Because as we seek the kingdom first for ourselves, everything else is going to fall into place.
Right.
You don't got to worry about everything else. You don't got to worry about tomorrow. Amen?
Amen.
But if that's where God's taking us, is that we need to understand the gifts and the promises that he has already deposited. He's already spoken them to you. I don't doubt it for a second. And maybe, maybe after I'm done, maybe we can pray. We can, you just want to declare it? This is the promise. And that's essentially what's happening when you decide to get baptized. This is the promise that's been deposited, but I want the promise fulfilled. Because I want to interact with people however that looks. It could look any kind of way. And we're not going to judge. We're not going to put expectations on what it's supposed to look like either. Whatever that's supposed to look like, the promise fulfilled, is going to cause revelation of people to realize they're going to be baptized into a relationship with Jesus Christ. Because they realize they take Judas into the water, and then when they come back up, it's Jehovah. And Are you guys excited about this? Because, I mean, if we just, like, walk out of church, like, you know, then you run it, and you know, one thing that, one thing that I think we, there are so many opportunities for these interactions that they're like, it's like shooting fish in a barrel. It's a target-rich environment. You could go out and interact with so many people right now, and they would have that revelation. But we just make it so hard. We think it's too hard. Yeah. Christmas, when you're out, if you still got to go Christmas shopping, and you're just with all these crazy, you know, you're in the midst of this jungle of late Christmas shopping, just imagine yourself. Is Tasha's asleep? Is he asleep? All right, I'll miss one. Just imagine you're Gabe. You're in this jungle of Christmas madness, right? Look at Gabe. Everybody look at Gabe. You're in the midst of all this craziness, and you literally have the promise of God in your hands. Literally. He ain't going away. He's got a call in his life. He's world-changing baby right there. That boy, you guys need to talk to Gabe Manella, because that boy right there is crazy, something special. But just imagine that's Jesus, and you literally, you're walking through crowds of people, and you're holding a promise in your hands. Right? But when Jesus, the baby, Jesus' birth, the promise is not the same thing as Jesus on the cross, the promise fulfilled. Mature, grown, full stature of who he is. So when we realize that, how powerful, how much can the world change with this many people in here right now? It could only take one or two. But with this many people, how quickly could Flagstaff change? When we all realize that this thing that we're carrying is the very promise of God spoken into the earth, and we realize that when that thing comes to fulfillment, when we realize that in our own life, whatever that gift is, whatever that deposit is, when that thing is birthed into the earth. And that's why I said, what if God told you, Cameron? What if he told you tonight? He told only you. He said, you're going to do this for me, and it's going to change the world. But nobody believes you. Nobody expects it from you. Nobody believes you. What are you going to do? You going to carry it? You going to protect it? And you're going to know that God, the King of Kings, told you. He promised you. We forget that. We go about Christmas service and presents and family and baking and all this stuff, and we got problems and this person's annoying and that and whatever, and it's like that promise just gets buried under all this stuff. I want you, when you walk out, by the time you hit the door, I pray that the clarity, the bringing back to the remembrance, or if you've never heard it before, God makes it clear, this is what I'm promising you that you're going to do for my kingdom. And it is world-changing. It could be nothing less. It is world-changing. And when we walk in that revelation of the promise fulfilled, of Jesus Christ, of the promise fulfilled, not just the promise, then there's nothing the world could do. There's no stopping anybody in here from leading somebody to that revelation of Jesus Christ. So maybe we should, we got a few minutes. I don't know if there's anybody in here who doesn't know Jesus Christ. There's no better time than right now to have that revelation. And you know what? I felt the conviction when I got saved. I felt the conviction, and I had the tears, and I had my head down, and oh my God, I can't believe I've been doing this, and I didn't even know. And I look up, and there's Jesus. That's how good he is. He's so good. So don't feel condemned, man. He's going to take care of that. He'll take care of it. So if you don't know Jesus, you know, let's just, I don't know if, is anybody in the sound booth? Or where's Gabe? Can you play something? You know, if you don't know Jesus, but you feel that pull, you know, come up here and we'll pray. And like I said before, there's no prayer team. There's no, you know, we're all, let's do it as a family. You know, let's surround people. If you don't remember what those promises are, come up here. If it's getting buried under the stuff and it's like Pastor Tanya was saying, you just, you know, we didn't have a good morning this morning. And it wasn't just her. You know, it's like all this stuff, and we just, the kids are in the room, and we're like, go out, pick up your stuff, do your chores. We gotta go, we're late. You know, we got a bunch of Christmas presents wrapped on the table. Who cares? Who cares? Because you got that little promise right there. That's it. That's all that matters. And if we forgot what it is, then we need to come up here and pray. Because God, at the end of the day, God put Jesus Christ, the promise, the anointing, in your life. But he put that in there to be fulfilled. And maybe we need to pray about that. We need to get back as we go into this new year, as we go into Christmas and Jesus' birthday, you know, and all this craziness. We need to remember that we are the ones that God deposited the promise in to be fulfilled. And if people don't have that promise, if they don't have the revelation of that promise, no, they can't do it without him. And they can't do it if nobody tells them who he is, or if they don't introduce him, because we do know. So we'll play a song, and we'll pray, and we'll close the service after that. But if you feel led to come up here for any reason, let's just do it, and let's pray together as a family. Amen.
But this morning while we were in worship, the Lord gave me some words to declare over all of us. And I've got to do that. The mercy of the Lord has no end. The peace of the Lord is forever. Joy of the Lord. It's on all of us. The wealth of the Lord is on all of us. Family relationships are being restored. Clarity of the Lord for all of us. The song of joy is on our lips from this day forward. Marriages are being restored. Health is being restored. Guilt is being taken away. Each one of us, the Lord says, you are my beloved. His blessings are new every day. Father, as we leave here today, for those that are traveling, Father, that there'll be traveling mercies. Yeah. You'll protect them, coming and going, Father. For those that are here, Father God, that it'll be joyous, that this whole time, Father, just fill us with more of you. Yeah. We give you glory and honor. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.